This morning, this evening, brother and sister, it's sure good to be back. Seems like a long time since I was here and missed you very much. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can gather again here in this little church building here in Dixon. Father, where you have done so much over the years, you have so blessed us, Father, by assembling ourselves here in your presence. Lord, we are fully expecting that you will continue to do so. You will continue to do so until you take us from here in a rapture, Lord Jesus. However this plays out, Lord, but Lord, help us, Lord, just to be faithful, to continue to press this battle, Lord, until we take a step across to another dimension. Lord Jesus, help us to press on. Tonight we're here to learn more how to press on, how to believe, how to please you, Father. So open the word to each one of our hearts, Lord. Let each one know that when they leave here that you spoke to them as an individual. Make yourself a reality, Father. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, we're going to read one verse there and be seated. I thought it significant that the first song Brother Nate sung this evening was the same verse I want to read. You believe in coincidences? I don't either. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You may be seated. If you want to turn to Genesis 1, I'm going to read a little bit more out of Genesis 1. Starting at verse 26. My. It's good to see everybody. That's just good. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Tonight I want to speak on the thought, it was very good. And I actually have a message that I want to speak on. I was planning on doing this last Sunday when didn't make it. So I just want to start tonight. And tonight, I just want to lay a foundation for what I want to speak on Sunday, if the Lord doesn't change things. I have something that's really burning on my heart for Sunday, but I need to put in a foundation. So that's what tonight is going to be about. Okay, so I want to talk about it was very good. And there was Adam and Eve and God in the Garden of Eden, and he had created everything, and he said it was good, it was good. Then when he created man in his own image, he looked at them and he said, oh, this is really good right here. I like this. And they were in perfect harmony. And God was, he who'd come down in the cool of the evening, and he'd have fellowship with Adam and Eve, and it was just the most wonderful time. There's never been a time like it since then on earth yet. But, my, I'm getting excited already. But God had attributes. He needed to express attributes. And he needed to express attributes of Savior and of a healer. deliverer. He needed to express attributes of mercy and grace. And all these things that God had that were in him, and he said, I need to get these out. I need to express these, so how am I going to do it? And he had come up with this great drama he's going to play out. It's called time. And during this time, he's going to put a family on earth, and he's going to have an enemy. He created his own enemy. And he made him a really good enemy. Why? You say, why would God do this? Because God had this something inside of him that had to express, it had to come out. And so he started this thing we call time. He started this thing we call the human race. And here you are at the end of this drama, playing out your part. God expressing all these things down through time. He has to express it. He has to express it because what does he want to do? His purpose. Remember, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham said there's a threefold purpose. What was the thirdfold? Is to get us, the bride, back to Eden condition. He wants to get us from where he started, it was very good, all the way back to it is very good. And that's what this has all been about, is letting his attributes express in such a way in fallen creatures. Because Adam and Eve weren't fallen, but he was going to prove that his word is so powerful and it is so true, and you can have such confidence in his word that he's going to take you and your fallen condition and get you all the way back where he said it was very good. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, that's something to get excited about, because he's going to take this old, dying, falling apart old man, and he's going to say, I'm going to get you to the same condition Adam and Eve were in. My. And my old mind says, I got to see this. But inside it says, praise God, that's what I was born for. That speaks to something inside. If there's a thirst inside, and that's the only thing that can satisfy it, is right back in that same condition. Now, before you get too excited, recognize this. It's still in this body. Well, Phil, how are you going to do that? Because this is fallen nature, and as long as we're in this body, we're going to make mistakes every day. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So just stick around and come back Sunday if you want to find out what this is all about. Oh my. It's a means to express his attributes. God, it gives God purpose. God was there. He was being worshipped. But you know what? He needed a purpose. Part of his attributes is I need a purpose for being. And so he created his own family to give him a purpose for being. Brother and sister, it's the same with us. We also have attributes God gave you. He wants to express those attributes to you. And without that expression, your life is meaningless and empty. And you're in torment and you're miserable. If you have those attributes inside, you have that seed of God inside, and it's trying to live itself out. It's trying to express what God gave you a purpose for. And if you're not allowing that to happen, you're going to be one miserable human being. Miserable. Ain't that exciting? Aren't you glad for misery? What if you were satisfied with just what the world has to offer? Because the vast majority of people will find a satisfaction and say, I'm good. But you didn't. What's wrong with you? You were born for a different purpose. And if you don't express that purpose, you will be miserable. My, sometime I just look back at the things that go on in my life and I say, thank God for those miserable years. What if I would have settled? What if it would have been enough? What if I would have been, well, I'm just going to, this is good. I'm going to do this job. I'm going to do that. But there is something always driving you. There's something that, and it made some of us act plumb crazy. Some of us were total just off the wall insane. What was it? It was something inside that wouldn't give you rest. Something inside wouldn't give you peace. Something inside that just kept gnawing at you and gnawing at you. You had a purpose. And God said, you are going to fulfill my purpose. And what is that purpose? For you and I, part of this bride, brother and sister, is to express the very attributes of God. Because when God wants to express his attributes, he needs a body to do it through. Oh my. He needs a body to do it to, because you are the only hands he has on earth. You're the only feet he has. You're the only eyes he has. The only mouth he has. The only body he has is the body of Christ. It's you. And so when he wants to express these attributes, he has to use you. He's looking for someone who will so surrender themselves that he can say, I can use you. I can use you. This is what I want to do. And you know what? We all have different attributes. We have different gifts. We have different callings. We have different things God wants to use through us. God did not call me to be a mother. He called some of you to be a mother. So you got to express what he wants you to express. Well, I don't want to do what he wants me to do. Well, go ahead and kick against the pricks. Go ahead and buck the system for a while. See what happens. You'll come crawling back. What's it all about? What's he trying to do? To get us back to where it's very good. And he's going to use us. He's going to use his body to do it. Because what does the Bible say? The bride edifies itself. The body of Christ edifies itself. What does edify mean? It builds us up. We encourage each other. We bring comfort to each other. We bring judgment to each other. We love each other. We show mercy to each other. We express Christ to each other to keep us all walking down the same road. That's why Brother Branham said, bride doesn't persecute bride. Because we're here to help each other. Or I think you said elect don't persecute elect. It's the same thing. But we are here to encourage each other, to build each other up. And if we are off by ourselves just doing our own thing, we are not fulfilling our purpose. And if we're not being led by the Spirit, we're not fulfilling our purpose, and the body will be weak because we are not in our purpose. My. God didn't put us here and just sit back and say, well, you're on your own. See if you can make it to heaven. Try and live a good life. See you at judgment day. See how you did. That ain't God's purpose. God's a father, and he wants to have a part in your life, and he wants to have a part in every detail in your life because he's very interested. It's just like you when you raise your kids or whatever. You want to be part of your kids' life. And then when they get to be teenagers, they don't want nothing to do with you. It's like, well, what about this? But you know what happens after that? They grow up a little bit, and then they want you back. It's just growing pains. We all go through this kind of stuff. But God's just, he wants to walk with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be a vital part of everything in our life. He wants to. Now, with that being said, the vast majority of Christians would say amen to most of what I said, message believers or not. And message believers, if they really are, they would all agree with what I'm saying. But then the question is, how do you go about doing this? How do you go about expressing these attributes? Because here again, the vast majority of Christians say, well, I'm going to do that. And they start out on their own. And they find themselves settling for something or shipwrecked or whatever because you cannot do this. You can't. Well, you say, well, Phil, that doesn't make sense. You just said we have to do it. Then you said we can't do it. You can't. The Israel in the wilderness proved you can't. You can't keep a law. You can't live good enough. You know what I think some people believe, Brother Paul? They think the reason that you get born again is so that you can live good enough to go in the rapture. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit is for? To get you to live good enough to go in the rapture? And that's what they try to make the Holy Spirit. It's something that gives them the ability to overcome everything so they can live good enough and go in the rapture. They're going to be mistaken. They're going to be disappointed one day because they realize that it was not what the Holy Spirit is given for. The Holy Spirit is given so you can have unity with God. And you know what happens when you do something wrong, as we call a sin? It breaks that unity. And it grieves him away. And if you love him right, and as you grow in Christ, you're going to say, I want to stop grieving him away.
It's about your relationship. It's not how good you can live. It's about, am I grieving my father, my husband? You married folks, let's just do this. As a part of the type of, the body of Christ, the bride, right? So we're married to Christ. Now let's say, I'm going to use you two, all right? Is it okay? Brother Paul, he's outside. He comes in from outside, and Susie just like looks at him and say, you know, Brother Paul, sometime I wish I would have married someone else. You just don't get it sometime. Well, how's Brother Paul going to feel? Well, gee whiz, Susie. Make me feel wanted. They're walking down the sidewalk, and some guy walks by, and Susie's got eyes all on him and says, Brother Paul, if you weren't here, I'd go after him. And yet, that's the way some of us live towards God. A spirit comes along, and we're like, wow, that's tempting. Wow, that could really do so-and-so for me. And then we turn, oh, but I love you, God. I love you, God. Wow, I wish I could do that again. Oh, I love you, God, I sure do. Look at that. That's beautiful. Remember something, friends. It's about spirits. Your battle is all about spirits. It ain't brothers and sisters or whoever. It's about spirits. And all God wants to do, he gives us the Holy Spirit so we could stay in union with him and love him and overcome all those things that look so good to our nasty old flesh. It's what it's about. It's what it's about. You can only express God's attribute when we surrender to the Holy Spirit. He alone knows what we need, and he alone has the power to perform his word. Because what he wants to do, the Holy Spirit is in you to perform the word, to keep you in unity, God, so you can perform the word that he has given for you to perform, that you can express the Christ that he has given for you to express, and Christ is the word. So there's a word that you and you and you and you need to express, and you're the only ones who can do it. You say, well, how do I do that? When the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit that raised Christ will quicken your mortal body. You know what mortal means? It's subject to death. What if it said it will quicken your immortal body? We aren't in immortal bodies yet, friends. This is not talking about when you get a body change. This is talking about the body you currently are in right now. That same spirit will quicken your death full body. Your body is full of death. Your body is full of sin. Your body is full of all that is subject to all this stuff. And that Holy Spirit is greater than the curse. And it'll take this body and bring it subject to the word. And you will express exactly what God ordained for you to do. Excuse me. He has chosen what he wants you to do. Let me read you something out of Ephesians. It says, for we are his workmanship. His workmanship, not ours. He made us. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So you are a new creature created by the new birth. You're in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are ordained to do these good works. What are these good works? That we go out and we help the poor, and we take wood to Aunt Sally, and we buy groceries for someone, or we tell someone what a wonderful person they are. No, that's what the goats do. But the sheep, they allow the word to come in them. They allow to manifest themselves, and they believe what he said, and they surrender themselves, and he takes the word, and he quickens it by his spirit until you manifest Christ today. Beyond that, there's nothing. That's the only purpose we're here for, is to let Christ express his attributes through us. And then all he wants you to do is do what he's called you to do. You know, Jesus gave the parable about the sheep and the goats. He turns to the sheep and said, you clothed me when I was naked, you fed me when I was hungry, and all this. He said, And they said to him, when did we do that? He turned to the goats and said, you didn't clothe me when I was hungry. You didn't feed me or clothe me when I was, you know what I mean. He said, when did we not do that? We are always feeding the poor. We are always giving to helping the downtrodden. We are always in church. We are always paying our tithes. We are always having soup suppers. We are always having meetings. We are always doing all this stuff. What do you mean we didn't do it? They weren't being led by the Spirit to do it. Have you ever had someone want you to do something that was a good thing to do? Maybe even religious. But you weren't led by the Holy Spirit to do it? Did you do it anyways just to keep them happy? No, no, no. Don't do that. You might have been all as religious. They might have looked at you and said, oh, wow, Brother Phil, that was a really great thing you did. Not if you weren't being led by the Holy Spirit, because you were just doing your own works and God don't even recognize it. You know what the goats have in common with each other? Why they're doing all these good works? Because they think if they would just get past this outer bad person, the inner person is good. That's where legalism rests on. It tells you, you know what? You really are a good person, Brother Paul. You have some faults out here, but down deep inside, you're a good person that God's going to accept you if you just do good. It's a lie that's taken more message believers to hell than anything else I know. Inside, down on the inside, you are a good person and you're just as equally evil. Because it's from the tree of good and evil, and you can do really good things and you can do really bad things. And if you can live perfect in your own nature, God still don't accept you because you're just as evil as you are good. But if I could just stop doing this and stop doing this, and that really good person would come out, and then everyone would see, well, see, Brother Phil, he is a good guy after all. He's a fool. There's no good in us. So why do we keep trying to perfect ourselves? Why do we keep struggling, trying to live good enough? Why do we keep struggling? Look, friends, struggle to live in God's presence. Struggle to please God. Struggle to believe what He said. Pray to keep that relationship with Christ. You're going to make mistakes. I'm not giving you light. Well, you're going to make mistakes. You might as well go make them. Okay, well, first of all, if that's your attitude, get born again. Because if you're born again, you won't have that attitude. Quicken to what? What's this going to do to express the word that you were ordained to express? You, the individual, every one of us is ordained to express certain attributes, to do these good works. The good works is the Holy Spirit quickening this mortal body to do what it wants it to do. Oh my. Let's see if we still believe what I'm saying when I read this quote. Now we notice it's the same Spirit that raised Him from the grave that is dwelling in us. How could that be the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelling in us? Now is the Spirit that's quickened. It's not the Word that quickens. It's the Spirit that quickens the Word or gives the Word life, gives it wings to fly, gives it access. It's the Spirit that does that. That's why you can have this word and you can believe every word that the prophet said and you can have all the doctrines right and you can just be just as good a message believer as can be and dead as midnight. Because it takes the Spirit to take that word and make it live. People, I remember growing up around the message, and they'd argue and fuss about this doctrine and that doctrine and should you do this and should you do that. And we look back at that and now I say, dying, that seed dying and going to the ground to rot. That was the age they were in. But that is not what the message was brought for, so we could argue and fuss over doctrine. It wasn't, that's not going to produce what we need. It just had to rot and die back in the day. He said, now the wheat alone is just a wheat, but when the quickening life gets into the wheat, then it gives it life. And we which once were dead, made in the image of God, and yet dead in sin and trespasses, there's some way God had to get this quickening life into your mortal body. There's some way God had to get that quickening life into your mortal body. What is it called? It's the new birth. You had to be born again by the Spirit. That's how that Spirit comes into your mortal body and brings it subject to the Word. Without the new birth, you haven't even started. You haven't even started. I'm talking about your body. That's what he says. I'm talking about your body. This body, the one that's full of junk, the one that can do so many evil things. How would you like to get up and have your life played out in front of everyone, the things you've done just the last couple weeks, or yesterday, or maybe today? Well, maybe some of you live better than me. That's good if you do. Now, Jesus was the Word. You believe that, don't you? St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, friends, when that says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that wasn't just a historical something that was done. That means that it needs to be done in every age as we go down. The Word needs to be made flesh and dwelling among us all the time. Otherwise, you have a historical God. Now, as the promised Messiah, he quickened every word that was prophesied that he would do. He healed the sick. He's born of a virgin. All that made it true. He was the Word manifested here on earth, but he could not do this just as a man had taken the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken these promises to him. Let me keep going. I hope we get this real clear now. Jesus, being a man himself, the body, but it took the Spirit in him, the Spirit. It's not me that doeth the work. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. He does the one. He's the one that does the work. And Jesus himself was the Word, because he was predestinated by the foreknowledge of God, how God's plan was to be, that he would send a Redeemer. And this Redeemer could only be his own Son. Then that was God's promise all the way back from the Garden of Eden that Jesus would be here. So he's saying, here was Jesus, proven to be God's Son. He was ordained. He was prophesied. All the way from Eden, God said he was going to be here. And here he came, walking in a body. But listen to what he says. Here he was, as a man born of a virgin, but it took the Spirit of God to quicken that Word in him. He was the Word quickened for that hour. Even in that perfectly born body, even with all that scripture being fulfilled, yet in him as a man, he could still not quicken the Word. He could still not produce what it said he was going to do. It took the Holy Spirit. That's why he went down to Jordan, was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came in him. And then we think we're going to do something in these bodies? And then we're going to struggle with this body to overcome. We're going to struggle in our bodies to live good enough. And Jesus himself couldn't do it without the Spirit. Isn't that powerful? Boy, that should just kick legalism right in the teeth. All us who are still trying to figure it out, all of us who are still trying to do these things, all us who are still, well, if I can just do this, if I can just work enough, if I can just help these people. Just stop. Either be led by the Spirit or sit on a log like a bump. You're hindering. You're not helping. But I'm doing good things. No, you're not. How do you know what that person needs? Well, Brother Phil, you should call this person up and encourage him. How do you know? Is the Holy Spirit leading me through you? He might be. I'm not saying he's not. But you make sure you're led by the Holy Spirit before you go start doing some helping somebody, like some spiritual thing. Now, if you just want to help somebody, I'm not talking about that. Go do what you want to do. I'm talking about when you want to make a religion out of it. When you want to make it some kind of moral issue. There have been times when I've been driving a car or around some, and you know, around Nashville, there's all these people asking for handouts. It's a booming business. And usually, I drive by, I don't pay any attention because I'm not going to enable them. But you know, there have been some times when God just put on my heart to give them something. But I make sure it's not just me, because I like my money too much to be giving it away to people who don't work for it. But sometime he says, help them out. It surprises me as much as it surprises them. How How do you know what God wants you to do if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit? How do you know what God wants someone else to do? How he's leading them? But it's easy to say, you know, I think Brother Gene should do this or this. I think Brother Chris should be doing this. I think Sister Joyce, my goodness, I've been gone too long. Sister Joyce should be doing such and such, and she's not doing what I think she should do. Well, if she's being led by the Holy Spirit, then she's doing what she should be doing, whether your opinion agrees with that or not. Amen. Don't try to accomplish something in our own strength, friends. We just get in God's way. This is going to make a lot more sense, what I'm saying. As I know it makes sense now, but it's going to see the what we're really trying to get next Sunday, hopefully, if God will bring it. Let me read another quote. Jesus, so full of this quickening power, said, if you can destroy this temple that you took 40 years, you thought to build it, I'll raise it up in 3 days. Why could Jesus say that? I want to ask you. Why could Jesus say a thing like that? Here he was. He looked, they thought he was talking about the stone temple. He was talking about his body. He said, you destroyed this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. How could he say that? Why did he say that? Because he knew who he was. He knew what the word said about him. He knew he had to die, but he was going to be raised within 3 days because the psalmist said, he will not suffer you to see corruption. He knew that he was. I wish I could make that stick. He knew who he was. He knew that every word God had wrote in there of him, he fulfilled it. He knew he was the one David spoke of. And so he could say, if you destroy this body, if you kill me, God, you know, I'm going to raise it up. I'm going to raise it up. I'm going to. He was God. It wasn't going to stay there in the grave because he knew what the word said about him. Amen, Brother Phil. Well, don't stop there. What is he saying? He said, do you know you're the one the Bible speaks of? Do you know your position in Christ? If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Do you know this word is just like everyday living to you? Why, sure, it's yours. You're an eagle. That's your food. Do you know who you are? Do you know what the word says about you? Do you know what it says? Well, you know, if there's someone comes against, can you stand there in faith and say the same thing Jesus said? Not the same words, because you're not going to be raised up in 3 days like he does. But can you say, destroy this body, I'm going to be raised up in a rapture? Or is it just a doctrine? How confident are you in your position in Christ, what you are supposed to be accomplishing, what he wants you to do? He says, do you know this word is just like everyday living to you? What does that mean? It means you're not putting it on like a religion. It's not trying to produce something. You're not trying to live good enough. You're not trying to be a message believer. Some of you, I remember several years ago, there's some people around here and they were in and out of church and, they said something like that. Well, I just can't live good enough. I can't live like Sister So-and-so. What a sad, pitiful thing to say. God didn't call you to live like Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so. Well, I just can't do this. Well, of course you can't. That's what the Holy Spirit was given for. So quit trying. It's just who you are. It just comes natural. Let me ask you this. Do you have to try to get hungry? Man, I got to really try to get hungry. I know I should eat something, so I'm going to try to get hungry. It comes natural. You're a human being. You naturally eat food. When it's time to eat, your body's going to tell you eat because you're hungry. That's what it means to be a born-again Christian. It just comes natural. Doesn't mean you're not fighting battles. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to fight a battle to get hungry usually. But your desire for Christ comes natural. Your desire to be with him comes natural. And when we get things in the way where we get off on this thing or that thing, he stirs us up a little bit and brings us back. He's good at it. something I was just recently just come to my mind. I was praying, and I was walking, and something like, I want more of God. What can I do to get more of God? And it just struck me. He says, He has to do that. You can't force Him to come down. You can't make Him come and give more. He has to reveal it to you. So what do you do to do it? Read your Bible and pray and believe He's going to do it. Now, a lot of people can read their Bible and pray with no faith. You're wasting your time. When you read your Bible and you're praying, you need to believe what you're praying for. You need to believe what the Bible says. You got to listen for the voice of God speaking to you. And when He speaks to you, believe that. That's called revelation. And let Him come and give more of Himself to you. You don't try and strive to get Him to come down. I said, what are you doing? You can't bring Him down. You can't hook up to Him or something. He has to come and do it Himself. He's sovereign. He chooses. He decides how He's going to give Himself to you. He decides how He's going to reveal Himself. He just needs you to be an open vessel for when He moves. Let me finish up here. Maybe this will be my last one. Notice, it's the earnest or the potential, the quickening power of your resurrection when you receive the Holy Spirit. It's then dwelling in you, the potential of it. The potential of it. When you're born again, all you have need is in you, but it's still in potential. If it's not potential, we would see the full manifestation and we'd be all the way back to it was very good. We're not there yet. Some of us aren't. Maybe you are. If you are, praise God. I'm not detracting from you, but some of us are still growing. He said, now notice, you are now on your way growing to the full resurrection. No tree just comes up overnight. It's got to grow. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, as a Pentecostal church baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's been growing. Limbs that's died, just prune them off. But the tree's still growing. It's still going on because it's got to come to the resurrection. We grow to it. You're born again, but you're born again a baby, and we grow up. And as we grow up, we prune off this thing, we prune off that thing, so that the life can continue to come and manifest. And as you grow up more and more, the fruit starts to come, and it comes to ripening. The next thing you know, it's time for a rapture. You're led by the Spirit to quicken the word to you who is believers. You're led by the Spirit to quicken the word to you who is believers. The word keeps quickening as you come to the first limb, second limb, third limb, and on up. It just keeps quickening. The Spirit of God keeps quickening to you. Notice that Pentecost, their bodies were quickened by the new life they received. Brother and sister, all God wants you to do is just keep walking. Just keep pressing on. When He reveals something to you, walk in that light until He reveals the next thing. You walk in that light, it's limb to limb. And as you grow in Christ, you learn that this is something I don't want messing with. I don't want to mess with this. And the devil comes and brings you temptations. And there's things that used to throw you for a loop, and he brings it against you. And now you just look at it and say, really? Why? We're growing up. And he quits messing with that because it doesn't have any effect. So he tries something else. Oh, he don't quit trying. You're never going to come to a place where, boy, I tell you what, devil don't bother me anymore. He's got you. If he ain't bothering you, you got a problem. But you keep growing in grace. You keep growing in stature. What is it? More love expressing, more mercy, more grace, and more surrender so he can use you more and more to edify the body. And then it's not about you, it's about the body. Amen? All right. With that being said, that's my foundation. Lord willing, Sunday, we're going to pick up from there, and we're going to take one attribute that God wants to use to express through every one of you. Every one of you, there's one attribute that we're going to talk about, Lord willing. I mean, he could change my mind. He can do what he wants. But it's burning my heart, and I think this is what he wants to talk about. And I'll just tell you right now what it is, so you don't have to sit in there and wonder. He's called you to be a priest, to be an intercessor between God and man. Well,
We're going to find out what this is all about. You say, I'm a sister, priestess. Amen. It's good to be here, isn't it? Let's go ahead and stand. God bless you. I'm so happy to be back. Had a wonderful time out on vacation, but it's just good to be here. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you would come and speak to us. Just bring your word and make it reality. Encourage us. I pray that the word would have the effect that you intended it to have. Strengthen each one of us, Lord Jesus, as we go from here. Keep us safe. Keep us awake as we get home. Watch over us, Lord, and bring us back Sunday with the right frame of mind, the right attitude, the right faith. Be with everyone, Lord Jesus. Be with the ones who aren't here tonight. Just watch over them and strengthen them too. I ask this in your name.